When our best fur friends leave our world, many of us are left wanting one last scritch, one last hug, one last walk together. One Last Network is a space for pet guardians to honor their pets in their senior years and to cope with the days leading up to and after their passing. Here's your host, Angela Schneider, founder of One Last Network and Big White Dog Photography in Spokane, Washington.
Hey, hi. Let's talk teeth today. Did you know February is Pet Dental Health Month? Vet clinics across North America dedicate their marketing programs to raising awareness about the importance of oral hygiene in our pets. Just like us, our pets can suffer from such dental issues as plaque buildup, gum disease, and tooth decay. If we take proactive steps, though, we can prevent these and ensure our pets' overall well-being. I've been fortunate with Bella. Dental care is a priority at our vet clinic. And then, a couple of months ago, I went to a networking event at, of all places, a dentistry clinic for pets. Elevated Pet Dentistry recently opened on Sprague Avenue in Spokane Valley with Dr. Madeline Mays running the ship. Maddie has been a veterinarian for 13 years after graduating from Washington State University in Pullman, Washington in 2010. She was one of only 40 students selected to take an online dental course and wet lab, sparking her interest in dentistry. She started her career as a rural mixed animal practitioner and then transitioned to small animal-only work. But a specialization, a niche, kept calling to her. She nurtured her passion by completing numerous advanced dental training courses with specialists across the country. Her learning helped her improve her technique and proficiency in all areas of general and advanced dental care. Let's meet Maddie and have her tell us all about it. Hey, good morning, Maddie. May I call you Maddie?
Yes.
Okay, good. I was going to go with Doc, but that's too cartoonish.
Maddie's
perfect.
How
are you today?
Doing well, thanks. Enjoying the nice cold air.
Yeah, it's, wait, I looked it up earlier. I think it's minus 11 Fahrenheit. Yeah, that's what it is. And minus 20 Celsius here in Spokane today. But the sun is shining.
The sun makes all the difference. I'm fine with negative whatever as long as the sun is shining.
Yeah, as long as we don't have to go outside. Our dogs can poop in the backyard this time.
They quickly.
So you are... you're a specialty veterinarian. Tell us about your specialty. Tell us about you and how you got into your specialty.
All right. So, I guess first of all, I have a special interest in dentistry. I am not a board certified dental specialist, which is a thing. Maybe when I grow up one day, I will achieve that title. But for now, I'm kind of focusing on a mid ground between what the average general practitioner likes to do for dentistry and what the specialists do. They're amazing and they do things that I dream of one day. But there's a lot of middle ground in there that I feel gets kind of pushed to the side a little bit or not explored as much because general practitioners are super busy and they do amazing job, but they have a lot of things they're pulling from. And so I thought with my love of dentistry, I would put that at the forefront and kind of focus just on that. And we've had a really good response so far.
Where does your passion for dentistry come from?
You know, I think it's mostly because of how satisfying it can be and how quickly you can improve the quality of life for a pet. When I was in school, we were taught dentistry, but it wasn't a very long subject. It was an online elective as far as diving deeper into dentistry that only about half the class was able to participate in. And then it had a couple wet labs and that was about it. And so I got a lot of my learning after school by going to continuing education programs and being lucky enough to work in vet hospitals that really had a strong focus on dentistry and actually worked with some dental specialists. And from there, I just saw how amazing it was. And I like surgery. And so it was kind of like the best of both worlds, doing some really good, high quality medicine for the health of the patient and still kind of being able to explore that surgical aspect that I really enjoy.
When I visited your shiny brand new clinic a couple of months ago, you told us a story about a particular success case. Can you share that? The removal of the teeth in this little dog.
Oh yes. So it's just amazing, and there's quite a few patients who kind of fall into that case. I think you're referring to the pet we highlighted at our open house, Oatmeal. And Oatmeal is kind of your typical super sweet, middle-aged little white dog with lots of teeth in a tiny jaw. And unfortunately, our small breed dogs are very prone to periodontal disease because of the crowding that occurs in their mouth. It seems like nature shrunk the jaw, but it didn't shrink the teeth at the same rate. And so we get a lot of overlap and rotated teeth, and they end up getting periodontal disease really early. Even as early as like 2 or 3 years of age, they can have teeth that need to come out. But in this case, we ended up having to take, I want to say it was like 14 or 15 teeth. And
Wow.
a dog naturally or normally is supposed to have 42 teeth. So, I mean, they still have a lot, but that is still a significant number of teeth to take. And afterwards, Oatmeal was so much happier because of that chronic pain being removed. And our pets are so stoic and just kind of used to dealing with whatever's going on, that then once that chronic pain and infection is gone, the dogs are so much happier. And we see that as a dog who's more energetic, who's more, social, they play more, they're more interactive, and of course their breath smells nicer as well. So we're more open to all those kisses.
How could we get through a day without a good dog kiss, hey?
It's
So, what are the common dental issues that we see senior pets face?
hard. Senior pets, I think the biggest thing we probably see are the periodontal disease. So teeth with pockets where there's bone loss and infection has gotten down in there, creating pain, inflammation, and sometimes loose teeth because they get so bad. We also see broken teeth. So especially, dogs who chew on really hard products, so like antlers and real bones and really hard nylon chews. Anything that you can't flex with your hand has the potential to break a tooth. And so we're also trying to help educate people on what appropriate chew toys are to limit that. So broken teeth, the periodontal disease, and then in senior pets, we do have a higher chance of seeing like a tumor, either in the jaw or in the tissues of the mouth.
And how does that all impact the overall well-being of a pet, especially a senior pet?
Especially in our senior pets, because as everyone ages, the immune system tends to not maybe function quite as well. The body ages, and so does the immune system. So when you have chronic disease of any kind, but especially a chronic infection in the mouth where it can, have potential to have constant bacteria getting into the bloodstream, that can actually affect, the whole body health. So you can have changes in the kidneys from dealing with chronic inflammation. There are cases of bacteria settling in the heart valves, which can also, lead to heart disease. And I think especially in like our patients who maybe have diabetes or other chronic illnesses, that pain and stress that that causes on the system actually makes it harder to regulate their diabetes because cortisol is the enemy of glucose. And so the body doesn't respond to insulin as well because of that. So you also get chronic infection in the mouth. And if these dogs have skin allergies or, are itchy. They're grooming themselves with this infected mouth, which then can predispose them to more skin infections and things like that. So there's, whole body effects that the mouth plays in addition to just being uncomfortable.
So it's not just pain. There's some very serious things that can be going on if we don't take care of our dog's teeth.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of people don't even think to really look up there. I mean, even probably before I was in vet school, like I remember my pets maybe having one or two dentals when they were old because of their bad breath, but it was never like, you should brush your dog's teeth. You should look under that lip and see what's going on.
My first dog, he lived to 12 and a half and he never had his teeth done. Probably never had his teeth brushed for that matter. So, but it's always different for every dog, right?
Yeah, and of course, just like with people, some diets that we're on or some metabolic conditions that we have make it more likely that we'll have inflammation or we'll build tartar up more quickly. And we do see the same thing in dogs. Certain breeds seem to be more likely to have dental conditions as well. We know for sure that dachshunds are very prone to bone loss on the inside of their incisor or inside of their upper canines, and more prone to things like oral nasal fistulas or like a passageway between the nasal and oral cavity. Boxers tend to end up with more commonly gingival hyperplasia, so they get extra gum tissue growing up over their teeth, creating what we call pseudo pockets. So instead of bone loss, those dogs seem to create extra gingiva, and then you get these, tissue pockets over the tooth where food and things can get wedged up under and then make them more prone to periodontal disease. So a lot of breed characters.
So other than like that really stank bad breath that they can get, and we all know what I'm talking about,
Yes.
and maybe some pawing at the mouth or something like that, how does the normal pet owner know that something is wrong?
It can vary, and it really depends on, I don't like to say how observant an owner is, but some people pay more attention than others just to dental health, whether they've had, issues in the past. I would say commonly we see things like, sometimes pawing at the mouth or noticing that they're only chewing on one side of their mouth. If there's a painful tooth on one side, then the opposite side will have, the chewing power and actually have cleaner looking teeth because they're using them more. Sometimes we'll see drooling, even just a loss of appetite. And that's actually probably something that's more common in cats, is you'll see them start to maybe take one or two bites of food and then leave where they maybe used to sit at the bowl and kind of just chow down. Cats are a little bit unique in the fact that they also end up with a very common condition called tooth resorption, where we believe it's a response to the plaque, like an autoimmune response to that plaque, where they actually will start to dissolve the enamel and dentin off of their tooth, exposing the nerves underneath. And eventually, those teeth might completely just dissolve away. But it's a very painful process for them. And cat being cats, they're not going to show it to you until, unless you're looking or unless it happens really acutely and causes significant pain right away.
Who's easier to do an exam on, a dog or a cat?
Really, it's a toss-up. There are some amazing cats who will let you do, the full-on like lion jaw look in their mouth, and they're great with it. And there are some, dachshunds or any breed, but the little dogs seem to be a little bit more ferocious, where you can't get in there until you have them under sedation. But there's good and bad from all of them.
You did allude to it, but what role does nutrition play in helping us maintain good dental health for our pets?
I think just if you think in general, dogs and cats don't tend to get cavities the way people do because they don't have sugary food generally. But nutrition can play a role. And I think with anything, a balanced diet is going to be the most important for them. There's a lot of information out there about dry versus wet food, and there are benefits and cons to both. a lot of people will say, oh, they're on dry food, so they're getting that abrasive action when they're chewing. But a lot of kibble will just break apart before it's even, scraping the teeth. Or they're not even chewing the kibble. Some animals just inhale it. And so it's not really going to do anything in that regard. But we have found that some mineral balances can make a difference as far as the formation of tartar. There are specific prescription dental diets out there that do show to have, good effects. But I think mechanical action is the best thing we can do for maintaining dental health. So brushing teeth, wiping them, something to help prevent that plaque and tartar from forming.
What's the easiest way for a pet guardian to brush their dog's teeth or keep their dog's teeth clean if you have the kind of dog that doesn't like that kind of stuff?
Right. So as far as oral care, the earlier you start, the better. So if you start them as puppies, they're more likely to find it a rewarding experience. I think starting with a healthy mouth makes a big difference as well, because you don't want to have a dog who already has painful teeth and then start to try to brush because you're going to be causing pain every time you touch it and make that an unenjoyable experience, and make brushing hard in the future. So I think as far as starting early, so if we have pets start, when puppies or kittens in doing either the oral wipes, tooth brushing, the more frequently the better. We're supposed to do ours twice a day, and ideally we would do that with our pets too, but that can be difficult. And working up slowly to it, so not just going in and starting to, full on scrub everything in that mouth the first time you try it. We usually recommend starting with even just putting some of the pet toothpaste on your finger and letting them lick it off while you're rubbing and making that an enjoyable time. And then working up to, gently rubbing the gums maybe with your finger or a really soft baby toothbrush, and then working up to a bristle brush once they know that this is something kind of fun and they get rewarded with snacks and treats for it.
Should we be alarmed and panicked if we see blood on the toothbrush or the wipe?
Not necessarily. So when you're first starting, there is going to be a degree of gingivitis, and that goes for people too. I mean, if you haven't flossed in a week or two and you jump back into it, you might notice a little bit of blood on the floss, and that's pretty normal. The same with our pets. So if we're starting and we're getting a little bit of blood here and there, and the animal's not reacting like it's causing a lot of pain, then it could just be that normal getting the gums healthy again. If it is something where the dog or cat is reacting like it's painful, then I would say an oral exam with your veterinarian would probably be recommended. But yeah, a little bit of blood here or there, especially if they're chewing on toys or a new dental stick, things like that, is pretty normal and common because of that mild periodontal and gingival disease they may have.
How often should we be having oral exam checkups with our vets?
For our smaller breed dogs, well, for everybody, I would say at least once a year when they're young. As they get older, potentially every 6 months. And if you know your dog or cat is one that is very prone to building plaque and tartar, sometimes we do those more regularly. But I would say at least annually would be a good place to start.
Yeah, I have a tough question for you.
Okay.
Brace yourself. How is it that one vet can look at the same mouth and see a different level of need for a procedure?
That's a really good question, and I think part of it depends on the training that that vet has had. It could also depend on how cooperative the pet is being that day. So, we all have good and bad days, and one day you're fine if somebody lifts up your lip and goes for it. And if you're stressed because of a really long car ride or something before that, you might not be as open to that. So it could be what the pet is allowing for the exam that day. And things can sometimes change quickly. So if it's been 3 or 4 months in between two different exams, things can change with a broken tooth or progression of a condition. And sometimes it comes down to what the original exam was for. So if they're in for a sick ear infection, they might not get a full oral exam because of time or temperament of the pet that day.
Okay. And so to follow up with that, how often do you think, and it's probably an as necessary thing, but how often do you think we need to bring our pets in for an actual cleaning.
Again, I would say probably at least annually, starting at, 2 to 3 years of age, maybe earlier for our small breed dogs. So, especially anything with a smushed face, so our pugs, our Bostons, our Frenchies, Dachshunds, all of those little dogs we know build up and develop periodontal disease really early. I've taken up to 10 teeth out of a 3-year-old dog before because it had already progressed that much. So, starting early and then doing home care can really help with that. So I would say probably at least annually. Our dentists recommend we come in every 6 months, and that's with us potentially brushing our teeth and flossing daily. And if our pets aren't having their teeth brushed and they're not, getting in for biannual or annual cleanings, then it's pretty easy to see how things can build up quickly in them.
That's fair. A lot of concerns revolve around the need for sedation. Is sedation always necessary, and is there a reason for pet guardians to fear sedation for their pets?
Anesthesia dentistry, dentistry with anesthesia, and there's anesthesia-free dentistry. The Veterinary Dental College does not recommend the non-sedation dentistry because there's so many things that could potentially be missed or go wrong. So at our clinic, when we're doing a full exam, we are putting them under anesthesia. And of course, there's always a risk that we can get back to. But anymore, we have a lot of great anesthesia options and we have some amazing monitoring. So they are really well watched, and the anesthesia protocols are developed for individual pets. And then we do the full mouth dental x-rays so we can see above and below the surface of that tooth, because in our pets, 3/4 of that tooth is actually invisible. It's below the gum line, and so we can't see it on a visual exam. And then doing 360-degree probing around every tooth with a probe to check for pockets or areas of bone loss. And that can be uncomfortable and painful. So if you're trying to do that in an awake pet, you could cause them to bite you. They could snap on your tool and cause trauma to their mouth. And when we're using scrapers, or curettes and things like that to scale the tartar from under the gum line, which is actually more important than the stuff you're visually seeing on the tooth, there's a lot of potential to cause trauma if that dog or cat were to move while you're, doing that procedure. And again, you're not doing x-rays on an awake animal, so you can't really see what you might be missing below the gum line or within the crown of the tooth sometimes. But getting back to your original question about the anesthesia, there are risks. And as pets age, it might be something that people are more concerned with. But if we're doing appropriate preoperative blood screening to assess liver and kidney functions, know what their protein levels are, and then basing our drugs on, we base them on the weight of the animal, what else is going on with them, and then we actually titrate the drugs to effect. So just because we calculated this dose for your dog doesn't mean they're getting all of it. And then using multiple different drugs to work together so that you actually need less of all of them.
And I'm assuming all that is explained to the pet guardian at the time to put her heart at ease.
Yes, of course. And if people do have additional questions, we always will go deeper or recommend additional testing if that's something they want to be sure of. Older pets might have a heart murmur. That doesn't mean anesthesia is unsafe for them, but we would recommend having an echocardiogram done ahead of time so we know for sure if there are any changes that would make anesthesia more risky. Obviously, despite our best efforts, we can't guarantee that nothing will ever happen, because even in a perfectly healthy patient, anesthesia can have an adverse event. But we are trained to respond to those and have medications that can be reversed. And I think the good thing about dentistry, especially, is a lot of it, if we're partway through and a pet starts not doing well, we can, stop where we are, finish up what we're doing, and come back and do the rest another time, which sometimes we need to do in our little older pets because they just can't tolerate as long of procedures potentially.
Can dental issues indicate other problems, other health underlying health issues in a pet?
They can. Sometimes we'll see like an oral tumor. It could be a primary tumor or having spread from somewhere else. We might also see, in cats, we always worry about if we're having really bad stomatitis, so inflammation in that mouth, that there could be a viral cause associated, so feline leukemia or feline FIV virus. There are also times when there is a hormonal issue, like a parathyroid disease, where you actually can have bone loss of the jaw, and we see it's called rubber jaw. They lose the ossification of the bone. And then when that's treated, it can actually be restored. There's some pretty cool papers out there. I've never seen a case of that, which is fine by me. But yeah, so there can be other things going on that maybe show up in the mouth.
Has there ever been occasion for you to deliver some dire news to a guardian?
Unfortunately, yes. There are times when we go in expecting a routine, mouth extractions or tooth extractions, and then on our X-rays, we actually find that there could be a tumor in the jaw itself. And so I've definitely found tumors within the mouth, and we talk about those ideally ahead of time if we have suspicion, but sometimes they're unexpected, in which case we then would call and discuss, with the pet guardian at that time, what some of the options are. And I never want to push somebody into any hasty decisions, because a lot of us can make a knee-jerk reaction in the middle of receiving bad news. But if we give ourselves time, there are treatment options potentially out there. They might require a referral to a specialist, like an oncologist, or to one of the dental specialists for, advanced surgeries or things like that. But there are options, but unfortunately, we do sometimes find things that don't have a great long-term prognosis.
How do you manage delivering that news to your client?
I think the biggest part of that is just being empathetic, but also not trying to sugarcoat anything. I mean, I never want somebody to feel like I gave them false hope because I was afraid to tell them that it was something that could be really bad. I would much rather have them prepared for something bad and find out that I'm wrong and it's actually not a bad thing, than tell them, oh, it's probably nothing and it turns out that it is something really bad. So I think just being kind with people, being empathetic and giving them time to understand, and not hopefully rushing them into anything. Sometimes if pets under anesthesia, we have to be aware of time, but there's a lot of things that we can do with modern veterinary medicine these days, even if it's not something that every person wants to pursue, which there's nothing wrong with that. But and I kind of always think about it, this is how I would deliver something to my grandma. So how do I want them to feel, right? We want to make sure that they feel like they understand, they are feeling cared for, and know that it's okay to be upset.
I've had the pleasure of meeting your staff too, and they're lovely. And so I'm wondering how a day like that might impact your staff, you and your staff, and how you manage that for yourself and them.
I do have a great staff, and I'm so lucky to have them all. But yeah, it does hit us hard. So, when we do have to tell somebody that, they're sweet, sweet, wonderful, I swear it's always like the really nice ones. It's never the one who's like trying to eat your face. It's always the nicest, pet with the nicest owner, and it's hard for everybody. So, we don't like giving that news. And, when your pet is here, it gets loved on. It gets, it becomes part of our family for the day and long term. And so it's hard, but I think we're open to just talking about it and, acknowledging that it's sad and it's hard sometimes to do that. And just being there for each other when sometimes a day might be harder.
We're coming up on Pet Dental Health Month.
Yes.
What can you tell us about about our need to get this done for our pets?
I love that February is Pet Dental Health Month, but I also don't want people to wait till only February to do their dental care for their pets. It should be a year-round endeavor. But if that's what kind of reminds you to get that taken care of, I think that's fantastic. And just, February is not here yet, but because of that being the month, the clinics might be filling up a little bit more quickly with dental care. Some clinics offer specials, some don't. We don't because our prices are kind of set to be more affordable. They're still out of reach for some, but we want to make that as accessible as possible. But bringing awareness to it and just knowing, like, oh, you know what? Talk to your vet or us about, what can I do for home care if my pet doesn't maybe need a dental yet, or when can I get them in, or what should I be looking for? So making those discussions a priority are it's a good time when it's cold outside and you're hanging out next to that stinky mouth.
What is one last piece of advice you can give us about managing our pets' health, dental health care at home?
I think the biggest thing is making sure that you're using products that are known to work. So the Veterinary Oral Health Council, VOHC.org, is curated by veterinary dental specialists, and they have products submitted to them that they then review and say that they actually do what they say they do. So it's nice to have that reassurance that the product is effective and safe for your pet. I think the biggest thing is also using appropriate chew toys. So if you can't flex it with your hand or you can't indent it with your thumb, a tooth can be broken on that. So setting your pet up for success by not providing things that, even though it's marketed to be appropriate, may not be.
Yeah, with two broken molars, we will never have antlers in our house again. We have learned our lesson the hard way.
Unfortunately, a lot of people do that. My
Yeah.
own dogs growing up did that. So, I mean, I've been there. I get it.
Right? Maddie, thank you so much for joining us today. If you hang on for 1 second, we can say our goodbyes, but I appreciate you coming.
No, thank you so much for having me and highlighting the importance of dental care, especially in our senior pets.
I cannot wait to get Bella in for an exam with Dr. Maddie Mays. There's probably a lot of people out there like me. We buy the toothbrushes and the toothpaste, and we try, oh, how we try to stay on a regular schedule of teeth cleaning. And then life gets in the way, am I right? That makes our checkups even more important, whether you have them done at your regular vet clinic or a specialized clinic like Maddie's. And don't forget to check your vet clinic for any messaging around specials for Pet Dental Health Month in February. What's that old saying? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. See you next week. I'm Angela Schneider, owner of Big White Dog Photography in Spokane, Washington, and your host at One Last Network, signing off to go get some Bella snuggles. Listen to One Last Network on whichever podcast platform you prefer. We're on Spotify, Apple, and Amazon. Don't forget to hit follow or subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you have a friend who might be interested in our content, make sure you share us with them. Thanks for listening.